Let me invite you to take your Bible this morning and open it to the book of Ruth, that Old Testament book of Ruth. Right after the book of Judges is the book of Ruth. I was telling somebody earlier, they asked me, had a girl in school, and she came to me and she said, "I need you to help me find Philippians." And I said, "Well, it's right after Genesis and right before Revelation." And so I showed her, I found Philippians, I see that. I said, "Genesis way over here and Revelation's way down." It's right between them. You can't miss it. So the book of Ruth, if you will, there. And boy, I hope you plan to listen this morning, okay? Just listen on purpose, if you would. And I'll preach, and hopefully the Lord will speak to your heart. I'm just giving a message that he's given me. It took me all week to figure out how the Lord wanted me to give this truth, and I hope I've got it right, okay? If you have your Bible open there in Ruth chapter 1, we're going to kind of begin right in the middle, all right, of what's going on, not in the middle of the chapter, but in the middle of what's going on. In verse 19, the Bible says, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem." Now, those two are Ruth and Naomi. All right, that's the two, Ruth and Naomi, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. Naomi's the mother-in-law, Ruth was her daughter-in-law. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I want you to especially focus, if you will, on verse 21, where Naomi's testimony is that I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That verse gives us, I think, a very revealing truth that, in all honesty, has been lived out through the centuries and through history by a multitude of people. They went out full, but they came back empty, all right? Now, that is the truth that's been taught, but at the same time, it's ignored by multitudes of people in our day. And the sad thing is, it happens to so many people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, all right?" But they go through the same experience that Naomi went through, all right? Now, I want you to look with me with this truth this morning, and I won't, maybe it'll help somebody that's already taken steps going in the wrong direction. Maybe it'll help you turn around. On the other hand, if nothing else, I really and I hopefully hope that it'll prevent a whole lot more people from making the same mistake that Naomi and her husband made, all right? Now, if you're not familiar with what happened, in the beginning of chapter 1, the Bible says there arose a famine in the land, and Elimelech took his family, his wife and his two sons, they moved to Moab just to sojourn there. But the Bible said they continued there. Their sons grew up. They got married. The husband died. They stayed on. The two sons died. And then it came to the point where Naomi was there with two daughters-in-law. And she said, "I heard there's bread back in Bethlehem, Judah, so I'm going back there." And that's what you find there in verse 19. She comes back into Bethlehem. And there's such a difference in Naomi. She's been gone a little over 10 years. There's such a difference in her that people said, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?" Sin does things to you. Sin will affect the way you look. And it affected Naomi. So I want you to look at that phrase where she said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I want you to notice they left with self. They left with self. Notice the words "went out." Now, nothing in the Bible is there accidentally. I want you to see it. They went out. They were not pushed out. They were not run out. They were not thrown out. They didn't fall out. They made a conscious decision to go out. And it was on their own back. It was on them. They had nobody else to blame. There's no indication somebody else came along and suggested, hey, you ought to try it over in Moab for a while. Nothing about that at all. Instead, it's their decision, and their decision was, we're going to go out from Bethlehem, Judah. Now, I remind you, Bethlehem, that word means house of bread. And they said, we're going to leave that place, and we're going to Moab, all right? But wait a minute. Hey, they went in good shape. They went out full. They went out full. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little warped. I've got this picture in my mind. Remember the picture, if you ever saw the old TV show, The Beverly Hillbillies? You remember the picture of them with the truck all loaded up, and they were moving to California, and Granny's on a rocker on top of the pile? I get that picture when I think of them. They went out full. They had everything, all right? They had everything they needed. They were loaded up, you know. Everything was going good when they pulled out. I mean, things were looking good, and they were in good shape, all right? That's the way it was when they went out. They were full, and I said they were full of self. They left with self. But they had no lack of confidence in themselves. They had no lack of confidence in the decision they had made to leave, you know. But wait a minute. Plenty of God's people do the same thing. They make a decision. They leave where they should have stayed, but they're confident in their own decision. Confident. They left full of themselves. They left confident, hey, we can do it. You know, God wasn't asked because his opinion wasn't needed. Just don't ask God. Hey, I want to say this to you. If you're saved, you ought to consult with God. When you've got decisions to make, you ought to consult with the Lord. You said, well, I don't want to bother him, little thing. There's nothing little when it comes to him, all right? I mean, if you got decisions... I'm not a mechanic, so if I'm buying a vehicle, I'm praying, Lord, help me to find the one you want me to have. Just help me to find the one you want me to have. And I pray that way, and I've gone in and tried to make a deal before, and the guy, I told him, I said, well, I'll go home and think about it. And the guy said, well, people say that, and they come back, and the deal's done. I looked at him, I said, well, I prayed about it. If I come back and the car's gone, God didn't want me to have it. Changed his tune entirely. I walked out of the dealership with the car keys to the car that I wanted at the price I wanted, and I didn't have to come back next day, all right? He said, why? Well, I think one reason I prayed about it. Hey, you ought to pray about those things. Pray about decisions, right? Changing jobs, pray about it. Well, that one pays a lot more. Pray about it. Pray about it. Don't just get sucked in because it looks good. Pray about it. Pray about it. Man, you ought to pray about everything you do. But Elimelech, Naomi, they didn't pray. They left out confident in themselves. We made a decision. Everything's great. Oh, but wait a minute. They left with self, but the problem is they left the source. They left the source. All right? They left the source of where that, remember where it said they went out full? Well, they left the source of where that fool came from. They left the source of where that fool came from. They left the place of blessing. They left the place of blessing. Let me remind you again. Elimelech, Naomi were Israelites. God provided them a land to live. God gave them the land of Canaan. He brought them out of Egypt, brought them back to Canaan, said, there it is, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. I've given it to you. I've given it to you. Now, if you know your Bible, you say, wait a minute, preacher, there was a famine. But it was still the place God gave them. It was still the place God gave them. Now, the famine came because of judgment on sin on the nation. But they still should have stayed in that place of blessing. They left it full, and they were able to leave full because they had been under the watchful eye of God. That protecting hand of God. There's young people, oftentimes, they grow up, they reach a certain age, and they make, you know, I'm tired of the rules, I'm tired of people telling me what to do, and I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here. You've got all the answers, you know. I had a preacher friend for years, had a sign up in his gym. He said, go ahead and leave home now while you still know everything, all right? And now he's sarcastic in it, all right? Very much so. But oftentimes we get that idea, well, hey, everything's good, and I'm just good because of me, and it's all about me. We leave out the blessing of God. We leave out, hey, I am and I have what I have because of God's blessing on me. And I'm getting where I need because I'm at the source that I need to give it from. They had been in the house of bread, Bethlehem. That was a place of God's provision for them. And that was where they were supposed to stay. But they left that source. They left that source. So many times Christians do the same thing. So many times we do it. We go out, we get away from the source of all that's good and all that's blessed in our life. We get away from that source, all right? We get away from it. I could use the illustration, when I got married, I left the home of a marvelous cook. Boy, my mom could cook. She could put the groceries on the table. But the truth of the matter is, that gal I married, she could cook too. I stand today as an advertisement for two good cooks, all right? Two good cooks. I just swapped one for another. But sometimes, oftentimes, guys leave a home and they get married and the person they marry can't cook and they can't cook. And life's tough until one of them learns, okay? Until one of them gets it down. Hey, so many times, God's people, we leave the place of blessing. We leave that source. You know what happens when you do? Well, the only thing you've got left to sustain you is what you've got stored up. Just what you have stored up. And over time, you use up what's stored up. And what happens is, the tank goes empty. And you find yourself running on empty. That's what happened to Naomi. Hey, went out full. Oh, yeah, boy, everything's good. Left with self-assured, man. I know we're doing the right thing. We've thought this thing out. We've got plenty. We'll go to Moab. Everything will be great, and we'll survive there with no problem. We'll come back, you know, when things are better. But they left the source. They left their source. And when that happens, you say, well, what happened then? They learned some statutes. They learned some statutes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I believe Elimelech and his family should have known the Bible they had, right? They were Israelites. They should have been familiar with the Bible they had. But some of us have to learn the Bible the hard way. Have to learn the Bible the hard way. And they got away from the source. They were full of themselves. So God said, all right, I'm going to teach you some truth you've neglected. I'm going to teach you some things you've just avoided. Let me show you one of the things they learned. Don't lose your place there in Ruth, but go back to Numbers, would you? Go back to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Here's some scripture they should have had and should have been familiar with. And Numbers chapter 32, drop down, if you will, to verse 23. Numbers 32, verse 23. All right, the Bible said, but if you will not do so, all right, now what he's talking about is subduing the land that they were supposed to go into, the land of Canaan. Hey, that's where Elimelech and Naomi lived. And they were subdue it and everything. But he said, if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, there's a lot of people sitting, maybe some of you sitting here, you've learned that truth of that verse the hard way. You learned it the hard way because you found out your sin finds you out. You know, as kids say to each other, and I had kids say to me when I was a kid many times, hey, what your parents don't know won't hurt. I said, it will when they find out. And they will find out. And when they found out, I found out, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. My brother and I, we were kids. We lived in Vidalia, Georgia. Our house was right next to the church. And we lived in a church parsonage. Dad was the pastor. And church was right next to it, right behind that building. There was a Sunday school building that had a flat roof on it. And God had put a cherry tree in a very important spot right behind that building that made it very easy to shinny up that tree and get on the roof of that building. And if God hadn't wanted us there, he would not have put that tree there, I'm sure. And then my parents violated and went against God's desire because our parents told us, don't you climb that tree. Don't you get on the roof. Don't you get on the roof. And both of us being very obedient kids, we were careful when we got on the roof, all right? And one day we were there, and we were up there, and there was a little wall on that roof there, and we walked up to it, and we were peeping over it when Mom came out the back door. And she was using our solar-powered dryer as a clothesline, all right? And my mom was hanging out clothes on the clothesline, and my brother and I, you know, poking each other. We were watching Mom down there. And all of a sudden, my mom reared back and called both of us. She called our names. You can't stand on the roof of the building where you're not supposed to be and say, what do you need, Mom? Couldn't do that. So, man, we had to quietly hustle across, and she kept calling. She kept calling. Well, you couldn't answer. We had to keep going across, down the cherry tree, around the building. Yes, ma'am? I don't know why she asked. I think she already knew. You boys been on the building? Man, we were cooked, you know? We were cooked. Be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, that was a funny, it's funny to you, it wasn't funny to us then, all right? But it's funny now. But you hear me, that little deal's funny now about that, but it's not funny when God says, be sure your sin will find you out. It will, and it will every time. Elimelech and Naomi thought, hey, we're going out full. Everything's good. We're going to take care of it. No problem. But God taught them some statutes. He taught them some statutes. He taught them James chapter 1. You said, preacher, that's in the New Testament. The Word of God's eternal. So it hadn't been penned yet, but it was still true. It was still true. The Bible said in James chapter 1, you know, when sin, when it is our lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey, they found out the truth of that statute. Elimelech died. Both sons died. Why? Because the Bible's true. Because the Bible's true. I mean, they deliberately walked away from the will of God. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. God said, you'll pay for it. Be sure your sin will find you out. They also found out the truth of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. The way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. Folks, I just want to tell you, all right? You and I can do whatever we want to do. God gives us free will. Go ahead, have at it. But he warns us ahead of time. He warns us ahead of time. We get warned, don't do it, all right? Don't do it. Kids get warned, don't do things, don't do it. But how many times did you as a kid were told, don't, stop, and you did it anyway? I remember one of my kids did that one time. We had a pot, and it was my wife cooked. We were sitting at the table, and she'd bring in the pot and setting it down. And she, you know, we're telling our kiddo, hey, don't touch it, hot, hot, hot. Looked up. What can we say? All right? The way of transgressors is hard. Way of transgressors is hard. Hey, you want a hard life? Disobey what God says. You want it to go tough for you? Ignore what the Bible has to say to you. Do your own thing. Do your own thing. It'll go great, all right? Well, wait a minute. There's good news. There's good news. Yep, they learned the statutes, but Naomi was lifted from sin. Look back there in Ruth chapter 19, verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. Oh, isn't that good? So I went out full. Things didn't go too well, but the Lord hath brought me home again full. Hey, it's the Lord who's able to lift you out of where your sin has taken you, all right? God can do that for you. You said, preacher, you don't know how bad it is. I just want to tell you, God can help you if you'll let Him. Doesn't matter how deep you've gone, He's able to get you out. And we see it. I believe Naomi knew it, and she gave credit to her God. She didn't say, I finally wised up. I got tired of it over there in Moab. Got fed up. I thought, I'm going back home. No, she said, the Lord hath brought me home again. Now, she may not have been very happy, but she knew to whom the credit belonged for getting her back home. She was bitter. Came back, she was bitter. Wasn't very happy, but she knew who the credit belonged to. She knew it wasn't me and it wasn't anything else. It was God. Notice, home. Brought me home again. I don't know about y'all, but to me, home is a wonderful word. Wonderful word. I enjoy traveling. But when I'm on vacation, I remember times we'd go with the family when the kids are still at home. And I remember this one, I guess the last vacation we took before home got split up and the kids got married. So when they left, but this last one, and we were out in Arizona, and we turned the vehicle headed home. And I tell you, I didn't want to stop. We talked about, well, we can stop, get a motel room. And man, we had three drivers. And I'm thinking, I talked to the wife, talked to the kids, and they said, let's go home. I said, were you miserable? No, we had a good time. But man, home has a pull to it, you know. I enjoy eating out, but I'll tell you where. You said, where's your favorite place to eat? 5801 McDougal. Favorite place to eat, you know. I enjoy eating at home more than I do anywhere else. Home is that place where you can be yourself and be accepted, you know. It's that place that you fit in, you know. Somebody said home is where the heart is. I think that's true. Hey, home for the child of God is the house of God. Home for the child of God is the house of God while you're here on this earth. Now, our long home is heaven. That's our long home. We look forward to that. Every child of my mother-in-law, they've all talked to her and said, Mom, go on home. Go on home. I've told her. I said, boy, wish, you know, it's good. Turn loose. I said, I'll take care of your daughter. I figured she didn't trust me. But, you know, I said, I'll take care of her. Everything will be all right. You can go on. Go on. Hey, we know that's the ultimate home. But I tell you what, home while we're here is the house of God. Because that's where we get together with the family of God. We're diverse people. Everybody doesn't like the same thing. Some of you are fans of weird ball teams. All right? Some of you have strange habits. All right? You're just like that. All right? But it's okay. It's all right. Now, we don't have to all like the same thing. We don't have to do that. My sister-in-law has been down with helping my wife here for a week or so, and we were talking last night about food and what she liked and didn't like, and I said, what's wrong with you? And I said, where did they go wrong with you? She doesn't like bananas. She doesn't like apples. She doesn't like any kind of fruit. And I said, my wife said, yeah, we slept in the same bed, grew up in the same house, and look how she turned out, all right? There's no explaining it. But you know what? It's all right. You can fit in the house of God. You don't have to be just like everybody else. We can fit in here. Home, what a wonderful place. Naomi said, hey, I left here, all right? I left here, but the Lord brought me home again. Well, can I say this to you? You may come a chance in your life, you may get full of self and sin, and decide you're going to get away from the source of all that's good and all that's right. When you do it, you're going to learn the Scripture the hard way. You're going to learn it the hard way. But I want you to know this, the Lord can and will lift you up. He can bring you back, all right? He can bring you back again. He can plant your feet on that rock as he did for David. David said, he pulled me out of that miry pit and the miry clay and plant my feet on a rock. He can do that for you. He can take you back home where you'll find a welcome. You'll find a welcome. Nobody's going to be against you. Well, I've had people that were out of church for a long time, and they say, well, I don't know how the people are going to react when you come. I said, they'll ostracize you and point at you and talk about you. No, I didn't say that. I said, you're going to be fine. You're going to find they'll love you. They're going to be glad you're there. Be glad you're there. Hey, listen, wonderful thing to be home again. But wait a minute. There's one last word in that verse, all right, in that phrase. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Empty. And I tell you what, they left, you know, with self. They left with self. They left the source. They learned some statutes. They were lifted from sin by the Lord, but they were licked by Satan. They came back home empty. Empty. You know, there's very little about the word empty that's good. Very little about the word empty that's good. Have you ever said, whoopee, the gas tank is empty? You ever said that? Most people don't. You're there, you said, well, thank God that glass is now empty. I don't have to drink any more today. We don't look at it like that. We don't rejoice. Hey, you reach in your pocket and find out it's empty. You don't rejoice over that. It's empty. That very meaning of it. If you have an empty bank account, you don't go, good, we finally got rid of all of that money. Nobody does that. There's just hardly anything about empty that's a good thing, all right? I'm sure maybe we come up with something. But most things that can get empty presents a very negative image. Negative image. That was the case with Naomi. Said, hey, we went out full, came home empty. The Lord brought me home empty. Listen, I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart, sin leaves you empty. Sin leaves you empty. It leaves you empty of joy. It leaves you empty of satisfaction. No joy, no satisfaction, no friends, no fellowship, no fun, no happiness. When sin's finished. When sin's finished, it's gone. Life was empty of everything Naomi had expected to find when she went out. Ooh. Man, she found out, I'm empty. I'm coming back empty. Even her family was gone. Husband, both kids, both sons. And she had a daughter-in-law with her. One daughter-in-law said, I'm not going back. I'll stay in Moab. Naomi encouraged her. She said, I'm going to Moab. Ruth said, nope, I'm going with you. So she came back home empty. A lot of mother-in-laws don't get very excited about their daughter-in-laws. I always used to tell, I'd tell my mother-in-law, hey, you're my favorite mother-in-law. I said, you're the best mother-in-law I've ever had. She never was impressed by that for some strange reason. Hey, we don't get excited oftentimes about in-laws. Here's Naomi. She said, I've lost everything I had. Truthfully, when Naomi left and with Elimelech, they went out what we might call well-to-do. Well-to-do. But when they got home, all of that was gone. All of that was gone, came home empty. That's the way sin leaves us. All that fun we thought we were having, it leaves us with no fun. All that enjoyment, now we have no joy. There's no satisfaction. You know, when the bank statement comes and that line there at the bottom has got a minus sign in front of it, there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction. That's the way life winds up when you decide, I'll do what I want to do the way I want to do it, and I'm not paying attention to God. Now somebody said, well, preacher, I've done that, and everything's going along so far. You just remember those two words, so far. Because you hadn't got to the end yet. Haven't got there. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you gone out because you thought you had all you needed? At that point, you said, didn't need it. Don't need it. So I went out, I went out full. Everything's in good shape. Life's marvelous. Maybe you haven't gone out, but you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking about it. You were thinking about it. Hey, could I say, don't make that mistake that Naomi and Elimelech made. Don't decide, hey, we can get along on our own without doing things God's way. You never will succeed. Hey, maybe you are out and you need to come back. Say, how's it going to be if we come back? You'll be welcome. You know, the story of the prodigal son is such a marvelous story. When that prodigal came to himself and decided to go home, what he found was the father was looking for him. Because they saw him, the Bible said, a great way off. Great way off, and he ran to meet him. Ran to meet him. Listen, folks, Naomi decided we're going to go out. They went out full. They came back empty. Don't be tempted to do that. Don't think we can do it. Don't live your life as if what God says doesn't matter. You'll find yourself just as unhappy, just as dissatisfied as Naomi was when she came back and said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. In other words, you call me bitter. Bitter. I went out the pleasant one, but I came home bitter. Doesn't have to happen to you. Hey, if you're thinking about it this morning, we're fixing to give the invitation. You ought to come and do business with God. Maybe you're here this morning and never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you were to die, you don't have a complete, full assurance that you'd go to heaven. You can. You can. If you'd be willing to walk down the aisle, I'll meet you right there. All I have to say, preacher, I need to trust the Savior. We'll have somebody take the Bible and open it up. Read the Scripture and show you what the Bible says so you fully understand. Nobody's going to try to make you do anything. Not about to. I don't tell you, Christian, you're here and you've lived, you got out, you got away, and everything's great, but you found out it wasn't as good as you thought it would be. Nothing. Don't let something keep you from coming back. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father,